This is
Positively Hygiene
with your host, Amber Lovatos,
Amy Parenti,
and Angela Doe.
Listen on as we dive into the positive of dental hygiene. Okay, so it's been a minute since we've been on here, since we've talked. Who wants to give us a life update, work update?
I think Amy has the most exciting work update.
Yeah, Amy has the most exciting life work.
Yeah, so in the time since we last met, Dr. Cho, who was our practice owner, had sold the practice and was bought out by a private owner, which was good because I was nervous because I know a lot of times they get bought out by DSOs, and then I've never worked at corporate, so I was kind of nervous when he first announced that he was selling. But we have a new doctor. I can't put into words how amazing it's going, though. I think a lot of times, you know, there's such a bad rep with ownership changing hands. But the doctor who took over, he's like, honestly, my favorite dentist I've ever worked with. So I really, which is probably not the usual, but no, he's really, really good. And he's driven, and he came in just like with so many good ideas and so much passion. And it's been like just a breath of fresh air.
That's so good to hear.
How has that been for the other staff? Like, how did they feel changing owners? Because for me, I will say working somewhere, it's about the people that I work with, not like just the location. Was it such an easy transition for everybody else?
No, I'd say no. But I think part of it is, you know, and Dr. Mimar, he's the one I work with now. He put it into really good words. He said, when you take over a business, there's going to be change. You know, it's inevitable. Like no one can run the business. Like two people can't run it the exact same way. No. So he said, there's always going to be change. And some people are resistant to change. And it doesn't necessarily matter what it changes to. But he said, if you were to go to some place and start fresh and they were implementing the same things that the new owner was implementing, you might just see that as the norm. But if you work somewhere and you're crossing your T's this way and dotting your I's this way, and then someone else comes in and tells you to change it, some people are a little bit resistant to that change, not necessarily what the change is, but just the idea of what they've known as normal getting changed to something new. You know what I mean?
I know. I completely agree. I mean, I saw that when I became director of the nonprofit that I worked at. It was, I don't think it was, it didn't matter what I did. It was that I was a new person and I was changing things, and they were so used to doing things like their way, and they were used to their boss being a certain way. And I'm definitely not their boss, right? Like I'm a new boss. And so, you know, it's tough because I think a lot of people don't like change. And if, it's hard.
Well, now in your experience, how did you get the buy-in from the people that you were working with, or did you find a lot of turnover? I don't know the story, so I don't know if I'm like
wrong questions, Amy. I did not get a lot of pain. It was hard. And you know, some of the things that I tried to change, it was hard because the previous boss, who they loved, was the one who hired them, was the one who started the clinic, who hired them, who was that's who they started with as like assistants and then became a dentist or as assistants or hired them as dentists. And so, and this other person was very, very soft and I am more like direct.
Yeah.
And so just very, very different. And some of the things that I was changing were like, you know, clocking out during lunch.
Oh.
I know. New idea. Innovator. I am
what a curveball.
You know, I thought that we should raise the prices of certain things. Like our fillings were like $10 to $20 or $10 to $15. And I was like, hey, maybe we should raise them from like to $10 to $20. Because we were struggling financially. And so it wasn't like I think it was like $2 changes, you know, change. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, asking me for things, you know, including me in the conversation, maybe. For so long, I think they were just so used to practicing and doing what they wanted with no real leadership. And like their leader was never there. And so they just did whatever they wanted to do. And so Like there was an instance, I don't know if I told this, she probably doesn't listen to the podcast, so it's okay. But where the hygienist wanted to, our clinic was for people who were low income and uninsured. And he had to apply to be a patient here at our clinic. Okay. And I thought that we should implement a rule that if we're going to provide care to our family members, that it be like immediate family members, like your spouse, your children, maybe like a sibling. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair. But I didn't think that boyfriends were appropriate. And I say that because, so kind of what happened was the hygienist texted me. She's like, hey, letting you know that tomorrow afternoon, I'm bringing in my boyfriend and I'm going to clean his teeth. And they'd only been dating like a month or two.
Okay.
Yeah. They'd only been dating
like that's tricky.
And they didn't ask for my permission. She was just like letting you know. And so I then responded back with like, I didn't feel comfortable with that. And honestly, I only found out because that person, her boyfriend was friends with my husband. And so I found out via my husband.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It wasn't that they told me. She told me because she said she got caught, you know? And I just felt like, hey, there needs to be one communication. Like as the boss, I need to know these things, right? Yeah. Like I wasn't going to be in that day, that Friday. So how convenient. And so, yeah. And like, wasn't going to tell me, but then my husband's like, oh, so-and-so is going to your clinic tomorrow. And I'm like, they are?
That's crazy.
I didn't know that. And so anyways, I told her, I was like, hey, actually, can we put a pin in this? Like, I would like to discuss this with the team. Because one, like they had only been dating like a couple months maybe. And so I didn't know like longevity of it. And we are still responsible like for this patient. They are, whether it's your boyfriend or not, like legalities of it, they are now becoming a patient of record and we have legal responsibility to that patient. Yeah. So I don't just want to like, okay, right now, and I don't know this person, like I didn't know her very well. So I was like, I don't know, maybe right now it's this boyfriend, next month it's a different, I don't know, right? I just feel like there should be some guidelines. And I felt like a clear guideline would be like, hey, if they are your spouse, okay, we see them. Or like a parent or something. But I didn't think that boyfriends were appropriate. And especially the one that hadn't been dating like very, very long.
So short, yeah.
And then just like the fact that they didn't tell me. Because again, they were so used to doing whatever they wanted to do. So, yeah, my staff didn't like that. They didn't like that. They didn't side with me. They're like, no, we think that everybody should be allowed to bring whoever they want. And I'm like, I didn't agree. I didn't think I was being unreasonable. And also like, we are here to provide care to people who are low income and uninsured. And this person who she was going to see, her boyfriend, has a well-paying job, has health insurance, has a dentist, has dental insurance, so didn't need our services to get this care.
Yeah.
You know, so it felt more of a capricho.
Kind of like a, yeah, like, that's like an ethical dilemma, I feel like.
You know, I felt like in Spanish, capricho is like a spoiled thing. Like, I want to see him, so that's why I'm seeing him. You know, it's just
like entitlement.
Like entitlement, yeah.
Yeah, it was like maybe because she would also bring him in to like work to like volunteer at our clinic because we had as nonprofit people who come and volunteer and come and assist her on day like Fridays, the days he was off, he would come and assist her. Which okay, fine, that's fine. Let
him assist. But does he have any dental background?
No, he's not. No dental background. Okay. You know, it was just I felt like there needed to be some separation from personal life and work life. And I felt like the lines were being blurred. Now they're, you know, have been a long-term relationship. They're married now, like different space now, right? But back then, No, I just felt like things were getting too blurred. And so for me, I was like, we need to keep things like separate. But my staff, I felt, was like, well, no, we love this person, this hygienist. And we like, and they all knew each other. They were friends with each other. So they would all like stick together. So it didn't matter whether, I'm not saying that I was completely in the right either, but also could we see maybe some of these other sides to things? And they weren't, which is interesting. Well, yeah.
Yeah, because there has to be guidelines, because if it applies to her, then someone else is going to do it. Or like, why can I do it, but she can do it? A lot of like here and there, you know. So from management, yeah, like there's a reason for certain rules. But Amy, going back to what you were saying about like change and how not everyone deals well with change, or not everyone doesn't want to change. yeah, you know, that's like with the practices changing owners, it's like a forced work change upon you, because a lot of us, I shouldn't say a lot of us, but there are some hygienists out there, and I know like maybe we even have some friends where their workplace isn't perfect, you know, where like they would, where maybe they don't get a raise there that often, or they don't like the way they're being paid, or they don't like the bonus structure or something. But the thought of them going to a different practice and like that change scares them.
Scares them,
versus like, well, when you have a practice owner change, that change is forced upon you. So it is like you're accepting a new job, and or you have to find somewhere else that fits. So yeah, I mean, that's totally on the dot where like not everyone's gonna stay. I think it's and then you hear sometimes how there's like new practice owners. Now I guess I sort of get it. I don't know how they like when they come in, they want to like let everyone go.
Oh, clear house. Build back
their, yeah, yeah. And then
that's
like
what I was build scared their of.
Own staff, you know? I can understand it.
Yeah, now I can like now that like we're talking about this, I can get that a little bit, because it is like a new practice, you know. So it's like you sort of interview all over again and see if it's a fit or not.
Well, towards the end of my tenure as director, I had great staff. I had wonderful. And like, even this hygienist, like, I had a good relationship with her at the end too, but it was, I had hired a bunch of new people who were like my people who saw me as their boss. And so I can see that, but
that's what Dr. Meemer is saying. Like Amber, like the people that you were working with, they could leave and go to some other office and have this new office say, no, your boyfriend doesn't count as immediate family. And she'd probably be like, okay, I understand. It wouldn't push it. But since in that environment, she was able to get away with it. To hear someone say in that environment, no, that's not okay. It's a little wonky, you know, it's kind of interesting. So I get why like kind of clear house a lot of times, but
you have this new person coming in and they're changing everything. And this, like, that's not the job I signed up for. Yeah, I would probably be bothered too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we didn't have too much, but we did have some people because they drove a long way. This was kind of interesting too, because I didn't see this coming, but we did have some staff members. No one left because of him. I'll say that. no one really left because of him, but people left because they were driving from a far commute. Now they're getting a new boss. This is a good opportunity for me to find somewhere else closer to home if I'm just going to be starting over with a new boss anyway. You know, we had two people. Yeah. And it kind of makes complete sense, you know, because I do have patients. Patients come in and they ask me because they see a lot of new faces and they'll be like, oh, did everyone leave? And I'm like, no, like I'm still here. me. And then we have a dental assistant that still works with us too. But then one of our staff members had a baby. So she is just home with the baby now. So she's not working. And one left because of the commute, and one left because of she was actually in esthetician school. I believe for like eyelashes and stuff like that. I don't know if that's called or if that falls under the umbrella of esthetician, but she left because she was in that and she kind of finished her training.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but I will say we did just lose our hygienist, Jess.
Oh.
Yeah, which is
that's here.
I know. She's an amazing clinician. I know. She's super sweet. But she actually has family stuff going, so she's going to be traveling and whatnot. But so she kind of is stepping away. But yeah, so there was like a lot of change. But I don't think, not change in the sense of, oh, this guy sold the practice and then this happened and now everyone's leaving or everyone got fired. Like, no one got fired. Like,
yeah.
Everyone kind of left for like their own story, you know?
Yeah. Like, if, like you said, like that was changing. So let me see if it fits into my life or everything's changing. Let me just change it now, you know? Like, yeah, exactly. Instead of just starting into this place for a couple months and then going somewhere else. Yeah.
What about you? You hit 10K since we last talked to you.
a lot of stuff. Well, this year is 1 year since I left my full-time clinical job and done other stuff. So yes, and I reached 10K. So if you're following me, still follow me because my 10K giveaway is coming up. I'm just waiting to do it because in March, everyone has their spring breaks and everywhere. So and then I did like a lot of giveaways for February. So I'm just sort of giving that a break and then doing my big giveaway to celebrate April. Yeah, it was crazy. So it honestly happened out of nowhere. I had this one reel that just went crazy real quick. And that was pretty much it. Yeah.
I saw that reel, like, that's so good. It's gonna go viral.
Yeah, I got a lot of likes, a lot of follows from it. So yeah, that's been, that was quite a milestone. I mean, even like, yeah, so that was exciting. But now I don't know. I know I needed like, and when I hit 10K, I was like alone. I was in Colorado by myself. So, but it's okay. Like, and I know I talked to Amber about it, how like, you know, you hit a milestone and it's great, but then just, I think in the nature of us, we're all three of us are high achievers, that we just look towards the next milestone to hit instead of like celebrating in that moment. And that's definitely something like I'm working on, even with other things like speaking and stuff like that. But that's been good. And I'm learning, getting more into airway dentistry. So I learned about it before and like took courses here and there, but really going to this event in Colorado really put all the pieces together for me. So that's been like, that's been something that's lit a fire in me. I don't know which way I want to take it quite yet, but it's sort of nice when like something, you know, reignites. But I think those are the main things. I'm probably missing something, but things happen.
Those are big things.
Yeah. What about you, Amber?
Nothing really. I've had more like home life stuff happen. But I mean, I'm still like one day a week at San Jose Clinic, which I love. And I've been doing a lot of like outreach events with them and doing like special clinics. So I did like a dental kids day with them where I recruited volunteers and we did hygiene care we did all care for children for free. And then I organized a hygiene dental care day also with them where I recruited volunteers and managed them. And so we did like 22 quads of SRP. It was awesome. Work has been kind of slow. I've been editing this dental Spanish book for forever and ever. And I hope that I'm almost done. I'm recording the Spanish part to it. But then I got the flu last week and my voice has been gone. So couldn't record it all last week. Things have been pretty chill. My life, not so much, but I had a water boiler. My water boiler exploded, kind of.
Oh my gosh.
So it got like, it didn't explode, but it burst. Okay.
Wait, is this something inside the house or outside the house?
Inside my house.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's above my bedroom. Our bathroom and our bedroom. So it was, we were sleeping and it was like 2 a.m. and we just hear this like gushing of water. And my husband's like, is it raining outside? And I'm like, that sounds like some severe rain, you know? Yeah. So I was like, well, let's get up and check. So I get up and check and he's blind. He's not wearing his glasses. He's like, oh yeah, he goes and looks out the window. He's like, it's raining. And I'm like, okay. And so I was like, well, since I'm up, I'm going to go get some toilet paper from the other side of the house and bring back to the room. And when I get to the other side of the house, I don't hear the water anymore. And I'm like, it's not raining. And I look out the window and no, it's dry outside. There's no rain. And I was like, go turn off the water to the house. And so he does. And then he's like, okay, well, just let's go back to bed. And so I'm like, I don't know, okay. And he's like, it's fine. And I was like, I don't know if it's fine because we heard so much water. And I was like, all that water had to have gone somewhere, you know, and it was running for at least 5-10 minutes. Like, and it was a lot. And then I just hear like a little trickle, a little crack. And I was like, nah, I'm done. I started to hear like little water. I was like, I'm getting out of here. So I grabbed my son and we're like walking out the door as the ceiling in my bedroom collapses. And so long story short, we have a bunch of water damage. So haven't been in my bedroom for like 3 weeks. And they just finished the repairs in my bedroom except for the floors. But now I need to do the bathroom. And so that's going to be estimated projection of completion is like mid-April.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I'm sleeping in my bedroom, my living room.
Where the water, where it collapsed, would that have been over the bed if y'all were sleeping?
No. I mean, yes, off to a side. I mean, there was stuff that fell like on the bed, but not like on us.
On where? Okay.
It was like near the door. So we're still far enough, but it was a disaster. Yeah. And stuff like me breathing in and stuff. And a lot of insulation that fell. And I mean, but you know what is when they were fixing things up, they found a tube. A pipe. They found a pipe, a metal pipe that had, I guess, been replaced in the past, and they left the metal pipe in there, but hanging. So if I had tried to remove some of that would, or if we hadn't heard the water woken up and it kept coming down, that would have fallen on us.
Oh yeah. My gosh.
Yeah. Financially, it's stressful, you know? Having a bedroom is stressful.
Sounds a lot.
We're starting IVF again, maybe, hopefully. I don't know. We'll see. My body wants to. And right now it doesn't want to. So, it's been. My dad was in the hospital again, kind of recently in February. It's, you know, we went to Hawaii. And my husband brought a rock back from Hawaii. And they say that if you take rocks from Hawaii, it is bad luck. And so I am blaming that on him. And I told him he needs to mail that rock back to his friends. We went to visit his friends in Hawaii. I didn't know. He just said he didn't know.
I didn't know.
And one of our ducks died yesterday. So.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the ducks.
Yeah. Wait. I was, yeah.
Oh. Which one?
Anna. She was one of the sisters.
Is that the one that gets the?
No, that's
Bella. That's no. Okay.
Yeah. Pretty sorry. That. Yeah.
I saw a reel the other day about duck owners. I think it's because I like your stories when you posted ducks. So the algorithm's like, got it. You like ducks. Yeah. And then I saw it said ducks are one of the few animals that really become affectionate towards their human owners.
Oh, ours don't love us. Like, they have real love.
Only like, when you have food.
Okay. They bring zero value to my life. Okay. Really. They are like super demanding. They're super loud. They're like super dirty. They've eaten my entire backyard. All they want is food. They have no interest in me unless I have food. But I still love them. I mean, because they don't love me, maybe that's why I love them so much. I don't know. And they're so innocent, you know, and I was telling my husband, that saying sitting ducks, it's literally like, it like really makes sense to me now, you know, because they really are so, defenseless.
Vulnerable.
Yeah. They don't have any claws. They don't have any teeth. They're all like blunt. And so, it was a raccoon. They got up one of my ducks. This is the second time I said that. Yeah. So
I didn't even know raccoons went after ducks.
Yeah. And raccoons are ruthless. They're horrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're vicious. It's so it's our fault. It's our fault. My husband was supposed to put them up that night and he didn't. He forgot to put them up. And it was Saturday night and I had gone to the Brad Paisley concert. And you just need
R.I.P. Anna.
Yeah. So it's been, yeah. Oh, but I got my dental room. I don't know if I talked about that. I have a dental room.
There's in the a house. Hazard.
Yeah.
I know the dental room looks really great on your Instagram. Like
it does.
Yeah. Well, it seems like lots of great, work-wise, lots of positive that we're starting out 2024 with. And it was so nice to like catch up with you guys, because I know like we all have all sorts of things going on. And then it'll be cool to like at the end of the year to hear this one to see like how things have evolved.
Thank you for listening to Positively Hygiene.
Join us every Tuesday for a new episode.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram for the opportunity for how you can contribute to our podcast.
And follow and review Positively Hygiene on Apple and Spotify Podcast.